With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Round by round, let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey B, Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Kyle Yates, and it's you. And today, we're going round by round. Round we go. And this train only stops for the Fantasy Pros. That's right. We are going to go round by round, talk about our favorite targets that we like to try to pick up on our teams, the reasons why, and also we've got a great guest for you today to help us go through all of those rounds. But before we bring in our guest, Yates, I feel like we are now in that end game, so to speak. You know, I'm very excited. I saw the Spider-Man trailer this morning, so I can't help but make Marvel comments. But it kind of feels like week two is kind of Infinity War. Week three of the preseason feels like end game. And I hope we get at least no more big injuries. I know we'll talk about a couple things here at the top when we bring in our guests. But look, we're getting close. This is it, right, Yates? We are so close to actual football mattering.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of drafts that are scheduled for this upcoming weekend and even the weekend after that. I mean, we're getting down to the wire here, and we're going to see some movement here even today as we're recording this, where teams have to get down to 80 men on their rosters, then down to 53 here next week. So there's going to be a lot of movement still for fantasy football. We know that the top guys are pretty secure in their spots, but there's going to be some movement at the bottom, you know, in deeper leagues. So excited to see where these guys end up and what happens. What's the fantasy fallout from all that? But yes, can we avoid injuries? Any more injuries? Can we just avoid that, please?
I actually feel like we had a pretty good run up until the last 24 hours.
I do
like,
too, yeah.
I was waiting for it, and I talked about it on the TV show on Sunday morning. We were saying, okay, what's going to happen? Just when and who is it going to be? And, you know, it got closer and closer, and now, you know, it's inevitable. This is just the nature of the beast. And, you know, speaking of Spider-Man, I kind of feel like he's the Peter Parker lately of the fantasy industry. He's a good friend of ours. He's appeared on the podcast many times. You could probably also have caught him along with us on the 12-hour Action Spectacular on the Fantasy Fest that we did last week. He's the one, the only from PFF and the Fantasy Black Book, Andrew Erickson. Andrew, I hope some of the latest news didn't hurt some of your team investments too hard, but we appreciate you having time for us today on the show, and welcome back, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I only drafted Adam Trautman and, you know, half of my leagues that I've already had, so I'm okay. I'll bounce back, but yeah, I'm doing absolutely great. I love the Spider-Man comp, you know, spitting some web action. Absolutely love it, and I'm excited to be on the show.
Yeah, Tom Holland ain't got nothing on you, Erickson, that's for sure. And before we get going today, and once again, we're going to go round by round. We're going to give you all the targets that we've got. We're going to use half point PPR, and it'll be a really good discussion. I don't think we're going to talk about the first round, because first round's the first round. But when we start with the second round, I think it's going to be a very educational time. It's almost like going through a draft kind of with us, and we're going to talk a lot about mindsets. And there's only two things you can really be prepared at the end of the day for, and that is you can be prepared for your draft in terms of knowledge and be flexible, because that's what drafts are. Every single one is a snowflake. Everyone's going to be a little different. And the reason why you want to make sure that you go into your draft with all of that armor that you possibly can, all of that knowledge, the way to do that is to go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard and get that draft assistant with Sync. For those of you who still don't know what I'm talking about, This is that sync technology that syncs up whether you're using Yahoo, ESPN, NFL.com, CBS, it doesn't matter. Basically, what it does is provide you advice for your picks, suggestions. It syncs up directly with your live online draft in real time, and it works for all the popular sites. Like I said, it's basically that draft simulator that allows you to go ahead and get in there, use us, use our knowledge here at Fantasy Pros, all the tools we have to get an advantage on all your competition, to dominate them, because that's what you want to do. And it's very simple to use also, and I mean, you're going to need every advantage you're going to have to possibly get this season, that's for sure. Now, one thing, only the MVP and Hall of Fame subscribers have access to the Draft Assistant with Sync over on the Draft Wizard, but again, I'm giving you free stuff just about. So if you head over to fantasypros.com/offers, again, that's fantasypros.com/offers, all you got to do is make a $10 deposit on one of our partner sites. That's Underdog, FanDuel, or DK, right? So on DraftKings, FanDuel, or Underdog, you drop 10 bucks in right there, and boom, just like that, you get 6 free months of our Hall of Fame package. That's a $65 value. That allows you to get the Draft Assistant. That allows you to embarrass all your friends and family and enemies at your draft. I don't know what's better than that. So once again, the path for success, fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Get that Draft Assistant, but get that fantasypros.com/offers on first and make that $10 deposit. And then we got you on loop. That seems like a simple path, right? Right, Yates? I mean, that's pretty easy right there.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely something you guys got to do.
$65 value for 10 bucks. I mean, come on, let's go. Fantasy football is now. Drafts are now. All right, speaking of drafts starting now, let's kick things off here and let's start looking at that second round. The first round, it's easy. Everybody knows. We've talked about the first round so much. So let's start talking about the second round. Actually, you know what? I'm remiss. Let me back up the train. I promised headlines.
Here's the league's latest news.
Let's talk about Travis Etienne first. My apologies. It looks like he's got the Lisfranc injury. He's going to undergo further testing. He was seen in a walking boot. Yates, I know you and I were very high on Travis Etienne, also more of a second part of the season kind of play. That seems to even be in danger now, potentially, because as Andrew and I were discussing before the show, it seems like, you know, James Robinson, if he plays well, who knows how much work he will even see to Travis Etienne when Etienne is healthy. So what are your thoughts on this injury?
Yeah, for sure. So Travis Etienne, you know, we're kind of in a waiting period. We need to know what the timeline is. We don't have that yet. We know what the injury is. We just don't know what the timeline is. So as of right now, as the time of recording, I dropped him from RB19 in my rankings. Again, I was pretty high on Travis Etienne and what he could be. I dropped him down to RB27. I moved James Robinson up from RB32 to RB26. So I think Robinson is going to have a clear role to start the season. And we knew that he was going to have a role in this offense, but we figured that he would lose the third down work to Travis Etienne. We might see both of these guys on the field at the same time. And Robinson would be the first and second down guy, maybe even rotating in with Carlos Hyde there. So I wasn't exactly very high on James Robinson, but this definitely bumps him up because we are going to see a clear path for opportunity here for James Robinson. So if you are drafting today, tomorrow, whatever the case may be, James Robinson as a RB3 is a fantastic selection at this point. You know, I'm a little bit concerned about guys like Michael Carter at this point. Is he going to see the work to start the season that I maybe thought that he could take over eventually? And it's just not there. So I think with Michael Carter, maybe I move him down a little bit and maybe I'm more willing to take James Robinson at this point. But we still got to wait. We still got to see what exactly the timeline is for Travis Etienne. But Andrew brings up a great point that, you know, what happens if he does play well enough, which we know that he's got the talent. What happens if he does play well enough that he keeps some of that third down work when Travis Etienne comes back?
And then New Orleans Saints, a lot to unpack here. Marquez Callaway looked fantastic with some catches from James Winston. It looks like Winston probably put himself ahead, which I think we all realize that Winston is the better quarterback. If you don't realize that, then I don't know what you're watching. It's just whether or not the Saints want to come to that same realization and approach more likely. And I think last night was a step in that right direction, but we did lose Troutman in that game. What are your takeaways, Andrew, not only from New Orleans, but also Daryl Henderson and that thumb injury in Monday's practice? So break those two things down for me.
So when it comes to the Saints, again, I think that Winston's probably not the favorite. They said, you know, Peter King released an article where he basically looked at if James Winston plays well on Monday Night Football, he's probably going to get the job. And that's exactly what he did. You know, he played really, really well, and Taysom Hill did not. No, he didn't play nearly as well as Jameis Winston did. So we're probably going to see Winston under center week one. Will he have the job the whole year? That remains to be seen. Marquez Callaway is a friggin' amazing late round pick. Again, he's probably not going to be someone that a lot of people are in on. And like in most, you know, as you put mom and pop leagues, I think that Callaway's a really good late round option for not the diehards that are into this all the time. And it was interesting that I actually saw something about Sean Payton saying that the Tony guy, the running back that started, it's not Latavius Murray, is not the running back.
Yeah,
Tony Jones is the RB2. So don't draft Latavius Murray. Like, he's not the running back. He could get cut. You know, Latavius Murray, kind of tying in with the Rams, you know, the Rams already lost Raymond Calais, who was one of their running backs. They had to cut him because he had a knee injury. Daryl Henderson is banged up. They don't have any running backs left. Like, they have Jones and they have Funk, two guys that have never played in the NFL. So I can't imagine they're going to go into, like, I feel like they have to add somebody, whether it's Adrian Peterson, whether you see Latavius Murray get cut. You know, that's been kind of rumored. So, you know, stay up to date with some of these cuts, because I think we're going to see another running back end up landing with the Los Angeles Rams, because, you know, Daryl Henderson, that was his biggest thing, was, okay, we got to keep him healthy, and he's already banged up. He hasn't even played in the preseason. So that has got me a little bit concerned about his durability from a season-long perspective.
Yates and I both updated our rankings this morning, and you can always see the most updated rankings over at fantasypros.com. So make sure you go check those out, because we are always on top of everything. We do not hesitate. We do not wait. We make sure that you are ready and prepared at all times. All right, so let's now start again. I apologize. I was just so excited to talk about draft targets with you round by round. But here we go. Let's start in the second round here, and let's start with the 13th overall pick. Again, this is using half point PPR ADP. These are the names that are going through that second round. Austin Eckler, Stephon Diggs, Najee Harris, DeAndre Hopkins, Patrick Mahomes, DK Metcalf, Antonio Gibson, Calvin Ridley, Joe Mixon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Justin Jefferson, and AJ Brown. Yates, this is a great group. Obviously, you get some huge high-end RB2, low-end RB1s. You've got some big-time wide receiver ones in this grouping. Look, it's kind of an embarrassment of riches, but when you're trying to target here, you personally, and let's call it half PPR, who's the guy that you really have a big, giant red circle around?
Yeah, that's Joe Mixon for me. And, you know, you look at a lot of the guys in this area. Would I love to have Calvin Ridley on my roster? Of course. Would I love to have Stephon Diggs on my roster? Of course. But based on the way that I construct my teams, I'm more willing to take that running back there in the second round and double down. So I'll go with Joe Mixon here. And Andrew talked about him on the Fantasy Fest, illustrating everything that the workload is absolutely there for Joe Mixon. And so many of the other concerns that we have had in years past are no longer there. Giovanni Bernard is not there to take away the receiving work. You've got guys like Chris Evans, and Evans has looked good, but he still is a guy who did not have a lot of work, a lot of carries on his, to his resume at his time in Michigan. So you're looking at Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine there. It's Mixon's job, and Mixon is going to get a ton of volume. His durability might be in concern, but it's kind of the same. Like, he's played more games than Dalvin Cook. And it's going back to their time when they came in the league, and we don't have those kind of concerns with Dalvin Cook now. Cook's workload is insane, so he's drafted as a top two running back. Joe Mixon's down here in the second round. It's all about the perception of Mixon. I'm willing to buy into the volume, especially at that price tag where he's going at 21 overall in half PPR. If I can get him as my RB2, I love that price tag.
Andrew, in the second round, who's that target that you have got locked and loaded?
Well, considering Yates just took my guy, Joe Mixon, I'm kind of caught off guard. So I got to pivot is the best way to put it. And for me, it's Justin Jefferson from the Minnesota Vikings. I know that he got banged up during the offseason, but it was like a shoulder injury. But that doesn't faze me when it comes to the receiver position. I want them to be healthy from the bottom down with their legs to get open. And as long as it's not a hand injury, he should be good to go. And we saw him overtake this receiving core last year at the end of the season. Adam Thielen missed a game. You know, he was up to almost like a 30% target share in this offense. So I think that he's just going to continue to ascend. You know, he was one of PFF's highest graded receivers against man coverage. He put up, you know, he had an historic rookie season, and I don't know if we're talking about him enough. I mean, what else does he need to do and prove to show that this guy is just going to continue to ascend as the alpha in that offense? I mean, we saw Adam Thielen kind of get banged up in that preseason game. He limped off the field, and, you know, he's a little bit of an older player. So I think that Justin Jefferson is the passing offense in Minnesota, and I love getting him at the end of the second round as one of my, you know, stalwarts at the wide receiver position.
I have legitimate concerns about Adam Thielen making it through the whole season, playing all the games. I just do at this point. I've seen enough when you see guys like Welker and Edelman and those guys who've, you know, just out there all the time, smaller body type. Eventually it catches up with them fast. And I'm starting to get a little worried about Thielen myself. So good call on you there. For me, I'm going to give some love to Najee Harris. And it's not surprising. And the thing I like most about Harris is that I'm perfectly capable and comfortable going aggressive on him in the early second round, and I'm so happy all the time, where in Superflex leagues, he tends to make it all the way back to me in the late second round. It's the versatility of Najee Harris that I like so much in the second round, because he seems like he's there for the taking if I want him, and if I wait long enough, sometimes he still makes it back to me in the later of that round as well. Let's go to round number three. We got some tight ends in here. Darren Waller, George Kittle, back-to-back. Keenan Allen, J.K. Dobbins, Terry McLaurin, David Montgomery, DeAndre Swift, Josh Allen, CeeDee Lamb, Allen Robinson, Chris Carson, Josh Jacobs. So in the third round, obviously we got our little quarterback in there, Josh Allen. You've also got a fair amount of those RB2s and some really good wide receiver talent. So Erickson, the board is yours in the third round. Who is your target?
I'm going with Darren Waller, and I would have taken him in round two if you had said his name. So that's how high I am on
say his name.
That's how high I am on Darren Waller, who I like call Darren Waller the baller, because that's what he is. You know, you look at his end of season finish last year, weeks 13 through 17. You know, he scored more fantasy points per game than any other player, regardless of position. So that kind of tells you kind of upside that Darren Waller has. And I know that Travis Kelce's locked and loaded as, you know, the tight end one that he's been for the past 5 years. But I think Darren Waller can give him a run for his money. And at the value you can get, Travis Kelce's like a first round pick versus Darren Waller, who's a third round pick. I'm going to take the value and take the guy that I think could potentially unseat Travis Kelce. Again, you know, Waller is the clear alpha in his offense. And right. I get that the target share in Kansas City is very concentrated towards Tyreek Hill and towards Travis Kelce, but Travis Kelce is also getting older. And we're talking about, you know, Mecole Hardman, he's going to take a step forward. We're going to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire catch more passes. So it's like, okay, if these other guys are, these ancillary pieces are getting more involved, then naturally someone else has to like kind of lose out a little bit. So again, this isn't a knock on Kelce whatsoever. Again, he's been the guy, and it's really hard to predict him to not be the guy. But when you're playing a game of value, which is fantasy football, I love Darren Waller in the third round.
This is the second time now you've mentioned the ageism a little bit, and I'm getting a little worried you're trying to replace me on the podcast here on the show today. Yates, second round, who you got?
Yeah, so I talked about the philosophy with round two, where I love to double down on running back after grabbing running back in the first round. So then this is the point where, as I look at the wide receivers that are available, where I am perfectly comfortable taking a CeeDee Lamb or Allen Robinson as my wide receiver one, I will give the slight edge to Allen Robinson here. I love CeeDee Lamb this year, but Allen Robinson, he is now playing with the best quarterback of his career after playing with guys like Blake Bortles, Mike Glennon, Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, it's just a crime. And he's
don't
a
forget
crime
Nick
against
Foles.
Humanity. Oh, Nick Foles. Yep. Can't forget about him. And I mean, he's just been dominating this entire time. So Allen Robinson here now with Andy Dalton, who's going to keep this offense on track, maybe based on what we've seen in the preseason, hasn't been great. But Justin Fields, once we see Fields take over, we could see this offense truly just take off. So Allen Robinson, I know what I'm going to get. I know that I'm going to get the target volume there. I know that I'm going to get the production, but then I have upside now with the quarterback play with Justin Fields once he takes over. So Allen Robinson here is my favorite target here in round three.
I got to tell you, man, I feel like it's going to be Fields sooner than later, because that's the only way to help that offensive line is to have a quarterback who can get outside the pocket. I'll go the other way. I'll go with CeeDee Lamb. I've moved him up to number 9 overall in my rankings. And the reason why I have him slightly over Robinson
is... 9 overall or wide receiver 9?
Wide receiver 9. 9 overall.
Okay.
Wide receiver 9.
9 overall. Goodness gracious.
No, that's not got crazy here. Wide receiver 9. Sorry. Wide receiver 9. Thank you. Yates always keeps me in check. That's why I like keeping him around. But CeeDee Lamb for me, it's what that offense is going to be. And even though Yates is absolutely correct, Allen Robinson's playing in the best possible scenario that he's played in ever, I still will go with Dak Prescott, despite maybe some of the physical limitations. I just think the Cowboys are going to be that good of an offense, and I think CeeDee Lamb is going to be that good. By the way, also keep an eye on him. I believe he is also in COVID protocols also. So once again, see, it just never ends, unfortunately. So please, everyone take care of yourselves out there. All right, before we get to round four, I want to take a quick break to tell everybody about one of our sponsors, and of course, that is Magic Spoon. I don't like to do any draft before a big bowl of Magic Spoon is in my belly. Let me tell you something. Magic Spoon, everybody's trying to eat healthier. Also, there's times where you're just kind of like rushing around. You're doing this, you're doing that, and you need to eat something. You want a snack or something like that. Magic Spoon comes in handy there, and I'll tell you why. 0 grams of sugar, just 13 to 14 grams of protein also, which is fantastic. 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, only 140 calories. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb. It is delicious. You can also build your own box variety pack available in different flavors. There's the cocoa, the fruity, the frosted, the peanut butter, the blueberry, and the cinnamon. My favorite is the cookies and cream, which is now back permanently, I think because I complained and said, where is the cookies and cream? So they said, all right, Joe, enough of the letters. Who writes letters anymore? You old fart, stop doing that. They brought back the cookies and cream and the maple waffle. They are now permanently there. But the only way you can get them permanently on your pantry shelf is to go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Grab your delicious cereal and try it today. If you haven't already, use that promo code fantasypros at checkout. Save $5 on your order. Again, that's $5. Magicspoon.com/fantasypros. The good tasting cereal, guilt-free, delicious, and it's also good for you. So go ahead, take your $5 off on us. Go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros today. Let's get to the next round here, boys, because these picks aren't going to pick themselves. Round 4, Mike Evans, Miles Sanders, Robert Woods, Kyler Murray, Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, Lamar Jackson, Kyle Pitts, Cooper Kupp, Daryl Henderson, and Adam Thielen. Some landmines here, I think, a little bit, Yates, because this is where round 4, the talent starts to separate a little bit. The tiers start to get a little bit more defined. So in round 4, who looks like a really strong value to you?
That's Robert Woods for me. I talked about on the Bold Predictions episode saying that Robert Woods has the potential to be a top 5 wide receiver this year. I truly do believe that. And especially now that we've got Daryl Henderson kind of banged up, he is day to day. So I am not super concerned about this. So, but even with that being the case, I mean, you got Xavier Jones, you've got Jake Funk. What happens if Matthew Stafford has to pass even more than what we expected or projected with the injury here to Daryl Henderson? If it does linger into the start of the regular season, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are both going to eat, and Robert Woods, I think, is going to be the main beneficiary of it. So Robert Woods here at 39 overall, if I can get him as my wide receiver 2, I've got him right on that edge of a wide receiver 1 this year. And again, I just said, I think that he has top 5 potential this year. So in the 4th round, that is a steal, friends.
Okay, who's the steal for you, Andrew, in round 4?
Would have been Daryl Henderson, but, you know, this thumb injury has got me concerned. And, you know, again, that means his ADP is probably going to fall a little bit, so you don't need to invest a round 4 pick in him. Again, I think that if he was fully healthy, this would be an appropriate spot. I think he's a good value here, but, again, you got to play with the value card there. For me, it's going to be Chris Godwin. I like his role in the slot with Tampa Bay, with Tom Brady. And last year when he was healthy, he was the most productive receiver alongside Mike Evans when it comes to fantasy points, target share. So that's what I'm kind of banking on in this offense, looking for, because we know this is going to be a high-flying offense. Like, Brady's going to throw for 5,000 yards and 40-plus touchdowns if he plays all 17 games. And chances are Godwin's going to probably lead the team in targets based on what we saw last year with all of those weapons. Again, Brady was PFF's third highest-graded quarterback targeting the slot last year. That's where Chris Godwin played 64% of his snaps. And he's second in PFF receiving grade from the slot since 2019. So I just really like his role. It's very secure there. He's not nearly as touchdown dependent. We've seen Godwin be a top 5 fantasy wide receiver before. So I don't see why, if he stays healthy, he can't deliver on that. And I also love his early season schedule. Week 1, Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Week 2, Atlanta Falcons. Sign me up for Chris Godwin. I mean, the Bucs offense, I mean, again, I'm lower on Mike Evans, but I also know that, you know, the first 2 weeks of the season, he could definitely eat. And if you draft him, I think he's a guy you probably sell high on. But the Mike Evans fade is going to be looking pretty weak after the first 2 weeks, I think.
Yep.
I want to talk about round 4 strategy for a second in some different format leagues, because I want to make the case for the quarterbacks here. You've seen me do it in a lot of the mock drafts here on Fantasy Pros. If you're playing in a 10-team league and you can get in the 4th round Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson, that is a win, and I'll tell you why. The supply and demand of wide receiver is greater in those formats. So you've got to start 3 wide receivers in a 10-person league. Well, guess what? You can make some of that up later on with some of these wide receivers that, you know, we keep talking about, the Jalen Waddles of the world, the Jerry Judys of the world. Take some shots on guys like that. Or even, you know, Callaway, who we seem to really like the buzz on right now, certainly looked good last night. There's ways to make up that ground. Those two guys are kind of the last two clear separators at the quarterback position. And also, if you're even in a 12-person league and it only has 2 wide receivers active, same thing. Supply and demand becomes different. Therefore, you can go ahead and hit that early quarterback often. Those guys control all the points in their offense, Lamar and Kyler Murray. And it's very important because all the scoring goes through them for the most part. That's huge on a weekly basis in terms of floor and ceiling, because you only get 1 shot a week to score points. And you know those guys are going to have it locked in. So just want a little quarterback love there in round 4. Round 5, let's move on to the next 12. We got tight end Mark Andrews kicking things off here, followed by Tyler Lockett, Deontay Johnson, Miles Gaskin, DJ Moore, Travis Etienne, who is going to fall precipitously from this after today, Kareem Hunt, Mike Davis, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, TJ Hockenson, Aaron Rodgers. So this time I'm going to give you the board first here, Mr. Erickson. Which way do you want to go in round five?
You're making me pick between two of my favorite wide receivers in this round. I released my guys piece over on PFF.com, and two of my featured receivers are Deontay Johnson and Tyler Lockett. So again, I'm very torn between. So again, I think both of them are both very great plays, but I'll just highlight Deontay Johnson because I don't think, I mean, both these guys just get, you know, pegged for doing, you know, the drops for Deontay and Tyler Lockett's fall off when you got to look at the whole piece of the pie here. So I'll just highlight Deontay again. Last year when he was healthy alongside Chase Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster, he had a 26% target share and he was second in expected fantasy points per game based on his target share, based on where he's seeing his targets in the offense. Big Ben looked good. He looked good in the preseason game. Again, you know, it's not necessarily we're looking for him to just shred these backup defenses. We're just looking for him to like be an efficient passer and to see that his arm hasn't totally fallen off. And that's what it looked like. So at least in the beginning of the season, it looks like Big Ben's going to be locked and loaded to go. And all indications are that Deontay Johnson, who has zero drops so far in the preseason, is locked and loaded as that team's leader in target share. I like Claypool a lot as a guy to take an ascend, but Juju Smith-Schuster's A-dot has not gone away. It's still very, very close to the line of scrimmage. So I still think that...
I think it is the line of scrimmage.
It may as well be. So I still think Deontay Johnson in round five is just someone that you can just feel so confident about starting every week because he's going to get such a high percentage of the team's passing targets. And he's a good receiver. Like if you watch him play, he's a really good route runner. Yeah. He can make explosive plays down the field. And really, you know, if he hadn't had the drops last year, he would be, you know, in the fourth round already.
Or as Dan Harris likes to say, root runner. Yates, your thoughts here on the round five guys. Who do you want to target?
Yeah, Deontay Johnson's absolutely a great pick there. I love Deontay this year because of his just safe floor that he's going to bring week in and week out. But the guy that I would have slightly higher than him is DJ Moore. Moore has always had the talent. He's always shown that he can be dynamic for on the football field as a route runner, but then also he's just a solid receiver all around. But the concern has always been that as far as fantasy football, that he can't get over that like touchdown threshold. He can't get the touchdowns that would push him into the top tier for fantasy football. And if we do expect Sam Darnold to take a step forward here in this offense under Joe Brady, finally with some solid receiving weapons around him, then we could actually see DJ Moore finish with 6, 7, maybe even 8 receiving touchdowns this year. If that is the case, with his guaranteed volume, the role that he's going to play, his high yards per reception, the talent, all that going together, where if you can get DJ Moore as potentially, if you start out with two running backs in the first two rounds and then you go wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, you can get DJ Moore as your wide receiver 3. I feel like that is fantastic value for him. So DJ Moore here in the 5th round is my favorite pick.
I just got him as my wide receiver 3 on Saturday in a super flex draft that I did with Laquan and Mike Mayer, our friends here from Fantasy Pros. And yeah, let me tell you, you can get DJ Moore as your 3. That is a really good feeling to put that name on that board. Those are the two guys that we're going to talk about. So I'm not going to talk about it anymore because they already hit it all. Those are my two targets. It's Johnson and it's DJ Moore. And for all the reasons the guys just said, let's hit a quick break too and tell you about another one of our sponsors on today's show. And that is Dynasty Owner. Everybody's trying to increase their fantasy knowledge, increase their fantasy challenge every year. And the best place to do that is Dynasty Owner because it unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an NFL franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics that want the real GM experience. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues are forming now. That's DynastyOwner.com. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky, and if you're like Andrew Erickson and you think you're better than most, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using real NFL salaries within the salary cap. It adds an entirely new level of strategy to the game that we love. So go to DynastyOwner.com to validate your fantasy football skills. Again, that's DynastyOwner.com. Let's continue to move on through the draft. All right, next round up here is round 6. The names: Brandon Ayuk, Justin Herbert, Ja'Marr Chase, Javonte Williams, James Robinson, Chase Edmonds, Kenny Galladay. Then all the way at 68 overall, Odell Beckham, T. Higgins, my man, Chase Claypool at 70. Then Juju Smith-Schuster, Andrew's favorite player, and Michael Thomas still hanging around at 72. Bless him. Bless Michael Thomas. Boy, people just don't want to give up that ship, do they? All right, Yates, let's start with you in round 6 here. some real talent, but some real questions as well, I think you'd agree.
Yeah, yeah. There are two wide receivers here that I have back-to-back in my rankings at 23 and 24, respectively. I'll go with T. Higgins here. I've got T. Higgins at 23 on the year. We talk about Ja'Marr Chase. I'm not bailing ship here, right? I'm not getting off this ship with Ja'Marr Chase completely just yet. There are some people that are saying, like, don't draft Ja'Marr Chase. It's not worth it. I absolutely think as a wide receiver three, where you can live with the, you know, you can rotate in some of these guys. If you grab Ja'Marr Chase and you grab a Jalen Waddle later on, or a Darnell Mooney, Michael Pittman Jr., one of those guys later on in ADP, then you can rotate them into your wide receiver three spot to start the year and let Ja'Marr Chase get his sea legs under him. T. Higgins, though, is going to come out of the gates on fire. And I think that he is in a fantastic position to succeed right away in this offense that we know is going to throw the ball a ton. We know that there is going to be total plays ran here towards the top of the league. We know that with Joe Burrow, this can be a top 10 scoring offense. So with T. Higgins here, the talent is there. The opportunity is there. In round six, if I can grab T. Higgins here, that's a fantastic value.
Andrew Erickson, lots of trendy picks here in round six, but what trend do you want to set?
I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk, San Francisco 49ers wide receiver. Again, Debo Samuel's already banged up. This happens every
can
single...
Can we just keep that in perpetuity? I feel like we could just keep that in perpetuity. Debo Samuel's banged up, everybody.
Like, that's the thing. And again, it seems like it's a somewhat crowded receiving core. If you have George Kittle, you have Ayuk, you have Debo Samuel. But the way they all play, they're all yak guys. Like, it just is more conducive to someone getting hurt. And Debo's had his track and his injury history goes back to college. Like, he's always missed time. So I'm not confident in him playing a full 17 games. And we saw last year when Ayuk played without guys in the lineup, third in expected fantasy points per game from weeks 3 through 15. It was only Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill that were better than him. So whenever you're put into a conversation with those two guys who are first round picks, it means you're doing something right as a rookie wide receiver. So, and I think that he also differs from Kittle and Samuel, where he's seeing the targets down the field. Like, he was the air yards leader. He was the end zone target leader. Like, he's getting the high value touches. So even in an offense that I do project to be more run heavy, especially with a running quarterback, I think that does limit, you know, Ayuk from being a potential top 10 guy, but the talent is super apparent with him. And I like the fact that he's running on the outside, the perimeter, and he's not like, he doesn't need all these like gimmicky, more bubble screen type of plays like Debo Samuel, where, I mean, we could see those disappear if Trey Lance is running in this offense. Like, why would Trey Lance dump it down to Debo Samuel when he can just run it up for 20 yards his own? So I think Ayuk is posted out at X as the alpha wide receiver in this offense, and that's why I like him here in round six.
Well, those were my two guys, but I'll highlight another one here since I always get to go third. And part of being a good analyst is also recognizing when the trend changes and you have to readjust your brain. So I'm going to give some love to James Robinson, a player that I've been telling you for weeks, no, not a good investment. Now I'm going to turn it around. Now it is. It's become a good investment, especially here in round six. Now, even if it jumps to round five, it still might be a good investment depending upon the structure of your roster. But once again, you know, some people, their ego, I think, as analysts sometimes won't allow them to make that change, but that doesn't serve the public very well. I care about your fantasy team. So for me, James Robinson now becomes that guy who he's got the clear backfield path now, not completely to himself, but certainly more to himself. And any threat to that is now injury more than anything else. Injury is going to keep him away.
And he gets Houston Texans week one.
That sounds like a good matchup to me. But and this is the thing. We have to constantly adjust and we have to change our brain. There can be a player you really don't care for, don't like the situation. And then one injury, one moment changes the dynamic of that. And James Robinson's going to score points now. And that's all I care about. And in round six, he becomes a value. Keep a close eye on that, whether or not that sticks around at that value. My guess is it doesn't. It at least moves to round five. But even so, if you have a draft today, it might still be round six. All right, let's go to round seven. Some guy named Tom Brady, new guy in the league. Not sure if he really deserves to be up this high. Raheem Mostert next at 74. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Melvin Gordon, Robbie Anderson, Michael Carter, Noah Fant, Leonard Fournette, Damian Harris, and Logan Thomas. So some of our favorite things here. I feel like Oprah here in this round. Some of our favorite round seven things. Andrew, you can go first in this one. Who is the guy that you want to target in round seven of this group?
If I had full confidence that Cortland Sutton was like 100% good to go, he would be my pick here. But I don't. I have concerns about him not being at full speed. He hasn't seen it. Maybe he'll look better in the preseason game he's supposed to play. But Because of that, I'm going to opt on the second-year player, Jerry Jeudy, because I think that he has the potential, he has the skill set to take a massive leap forward in year two, because we're going to see better quarterback play regardless. Whether it's Teddy Bridgewater under center, who's a much more accurate quarterback than Drew Lock, is going to help generate more yards after the catch for Jerry Jeudy. And then if Lock plays, it seems like he's already looking a lot better. He's pushing Teddy. He's making this a quarterback competition. Like if he was playing like he had played last year, then Teddy Bridgewater would already be the starter at this point. So I am confident that whoever is under center is going to be better than what Jerry Jeudy had last year. And we want to focus on the targets that this player commanded and, you know, kind of bring it back to the Marquez Callaway thing. You know, him showing out in the preseason isn't really surprising when you look at last year when he played a full snap share, he commanded targets. Like, commanding targets is part of being good. Like, that's why you need to take consideration of players that earn their targets as a rookie. Jerry Jeudy was near the top of the league in terms of target share and air yard share. So I love what he did as a rookie. Again, the drops are a problem. And I think that's the reason why you can get him in this round this late, because I don't think it necessarily accurately portrays the talent and the upside that he has as the Denver Broncos' potential number one wide receiver.
Jerry Jeudy won that bold prediction show, top 20 wide receiver for Joey P. We'll see if it comes to fruition. I like what you're saying, but you know, Yates, Erickson brings up a good point too about potential target share. There's a couple wide receivers in this cluster that really could be that. So are you going to go with one of those guys or another position?
Well, this is actually a round. Sorry, I thought you were going with a different direction, where you've got Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy back to back here in ADP, and then also Noah Fant in this range. That's putting a lot of faith in Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock, and that's like just completely.
It's also telling you nobody has a good beat on the Broncos.
Right,
that's
exactly.
What it's
yeah,
you.
No
Everybody's
one knows.
Going like this.
No one knows what's
know.
Going
I don't
on
Broncos.
Here.
I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. So take your shot on these guys. Jerry Jeudy is absolutely worth taking the shot on in this range. I'm not taking the shot on Cortland Sutton. I just have concerns. Especially if it is Teddy Bridgewater, it's not a skill set that really matches up with Cortland Sutton's, you know, being able to push the ball deep downfield. So, I think that the guy here, I will just continue to put a little bit of faith here and just continue to back him up. It is Michael Carter. And there have been concerns, about his usage and potentially all four of these running backs, playing a role here in the New York Jets backfield for an offense that probably isn't going to be fantastic, but I think that we are going to see Michael Carter's ADP dip just a little bit. And I think that that is still, I just want to give people a vote of confidence saying that if you can get Michael Carter as your RB4 on your roster, that is absolutely a move worth making because he has the talent, he has the potential to carve out a role. He's the best running back on this depth chart, right? LaMichael Perine, I liked him, you know, coming out of Florida, but he wasn't someone who necessarily stood out. Ty Johnson hasn't done anything up to this point of his career, and Tevin Coleman is always injured. So I think Michael Carter can easily form his way into or work his way into being the 1A in this backfield by week three, by week four. You might not be able to plug him into your lineups week one or two because he might not get enough work, but down the stretch here, I think that he's going to be a valuable fantasy asset. So in round, if he does dip into round eight, round nine, even just because of his usage in the preseason, I'm perfectly willing to take that shot because also, I mean, Noah Fant, I'm not drafting him. Leonard Fournette, I'm not drafting him. Damian Harris, I'm not drafting him. Logan Thomas, I'm not drafting him at this price, you know, so all those guys, just like you're looking at this range and you're saying Michael Carter is the one that has this potential to rise to a top 24 player at his position.
Carter's stock rises significantly, too. I think when we get a Daryl Henderson injury here and we get a Travis Etienne injury, next thing you know, you have to bump up whatever that risk is that you thought was Michael Carter and you have to take that on. I think at this point it's becoming more and more appealing, at least for me. Look, for me, Jerry Judy's that guy, but I want to throw out one other name for our audience here, and that's Robbie Anderson. Do you remember when we talked earlier about if you do take a quarterback early, you can make up some wide receiver depth? Well, welcome to round seven, boys and girls. This is it. This is where the rubber meets the road. Devontae Smith looked really good, even catching balls from freaking Joe Flacco, for God's sakes. Okay, that guy separates like crazy. Just hopefully he doesn't take any huge hits at some point and somebody knocks him into the Gatorade bottle. But overall, Robbie Anderson's that other guy, too, that I think he's going to get enough volume. I think reunited with Sam Darnold's good. Love the play calling. Love the situation there. Robbie Anderson had a good season. Seems to gotten back on track, too. In the past, he had a lot of personal issues and some things. I think getting out of New York was a good thing for him. I think it's going to be a good thing for Darnold. I like the Robbie Anderson value as well. We are flying through these rounds. I love this. Round eight is just around the corner. Before we hit it, I just want to talk to you about Air Medcare Network. Let's talk about your best defense against the unexpected. And you have to ask yourself, are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMedCare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for the entire household, and right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Just visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMedCare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That's airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. All right, let's continue on. We have now moved into the later part of the draft, round 8. This is when drafts really start to get won or lost, boys. To me, this is it. Making good decisions here is what it's all about. Here are the names on the board. DJ Chark, Deebo Samuel, Dallas Goedert, Matthew Stafford, Trey Sermon, Brandon Cooks, Ryan Tannehill, Tyler Boyd at 92. Then you go to 93, Ronald Jones, Robert Tonyan, Zach Moss, and Antonio Brown closes out this round. So Yates, let's start with you on this one. Who are you going round 8 target?
We talk about the running back, you know, with Travis Etienne now potentially being knocked down in ADP to, you got James Robinson, Daryl Henderson. There's some concern now with the running back position. You know, Melvin Gordon in round 7, he's a guy that just feel like, okay, drafting like as an RB3, feel okay about it. But then we get to this round 8 where you might actually need like, hey, a starting running back for your roster, depending on what you did. If you did draft a quarterback earlier on, Trey Sermon is the pick here for me. I think that we are going to see him, even though he is battling a little bit of an injury himself currently, I think that we're going to see him take on the majority of the carries here. I think that we're going to see Raheem Mostert move into a change of pace role, which is actually a better fit for his skill set. I don't think that he's a guy that you want to give 10 plus carries a game to. I think that you want to have him around the 6 to 8 range, and let him be able to use his speed on the outside to be able to pick up chunk gains. So Trey Sermon, I think, is going to be walking into a massive workload in this offense that if Trey Lance does take over, I think that this offense is going to be pretty dang good. So Trey Sermon here as a value pick in round 8, because we just don't know. We don't know what this offense is going to look like exactly. Is Raheem Mostert going to be a major force in this offense? I'm projecting him not to be. And if that is the case, then Trey Sermon absolutely will be a value here in round 8.
Trey Sermon's that guy for me, so I'm not even going to say anything else about it. Erickson, you wanna hang out and make it the Three Amigos, or you got another guy?
I do like Trey Sermon here, but I have to defend my guy, Zach Moss, running back for the Buffalo Bills. I know that things don't look great after Devin Singletary.
Andrew, sometimes, you know, in the Pringles can, you got to let that last one go. You can't always dig all the way to the bottom. You get your arm stuck, and then next thing you know, you can't get out.
After Devin Singletary basically outsnapped him, it was about 60-40 split Devin Singletary in the preseason game that they played together. But the play behind Zach Moss and why I've been drafting him a lot in best ball leagues up to this point is because I'm chasing that he's going to get the goal line work and that he's going to see a lot of touches in the red zone. And if you actually look at the snaps, he saw the majority of snaps in the red zone in that preseason game. So I'm not necessarily going to back off of him because Devin Singletary was playing more snaps inside the 20s where you don't see high value touches really. Again, they're going to split work as in the receiving game because Zach Moss is a really good blocker on third down. So I'm not necessarily so convinced that Singletary is going to own the third down back role. And again, it is one preseason game. You know, we overreacted to Myles Gaskin and then he went from backup to bell cow in the matter of a week. So again, I want to see things more play out. So I'm not ready to bury Zach Moss after one game. And you look at last season, he led the team in goal line carries when he was healthy. So I anticipate him reclaiming that role again. And look, Josh Allen got paid. That's a reason for him to be like, hey, I don't want to be a battering ram at the goal line. Like, I just got paid. I have an investment in myself. You're invested in me talking to the Buffalo Bills. So don't ram me into when we have this bruising back that I can just give the ball to. So that's the play behind Zach Moss. And I think he'll probably fall in ADP as he should, because Singletary was definitely going to rise and that's going to cause Moss to fall. So I think you can get him in round 10. And I think that I'm still going to draft him.
Yates, you're a big college guy. You mentioned chunk gains before. True or false, Chunk Gaines is a defensive line coach for a Southern Alabama university.
Definitely could see that playing okay. Out. That sounds like the Key and Peele skit.
It does. It's very
years ago.
It's very Hingle McCringleberry.
There you go.
Chunk Gaines, University of Alabama. All right. That's a fun. You know what? We should play that game. Real life guy in a college football roster or Key and Peele reference. All right, let's go to round nine. Laviska Shenault kicks things off here. Jalen Hurts, Jarvis Landry, Joe Burrow, James Conner, A.J. Dillon, Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle. What does not belong in this round? David Johnson, Kenyon Drake, and the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, followed by Curtis Samuel. Look, everybody knows that I'm going to say Jalen Waddle, so spoiler alert, it's Jalen Waddle. It's just, that's who he is. He does not belong in this group. He is better than this. Jalen Waddle, you are better than this, okay? There's so many pitfalls here, so many injuries, so many questions, that when you get to this round with some of these names, you're also towards the end of that QB1 grouping here when you start to talk about guys like Jalen Hurts and Burrow. So it's Waddle for me. Erickson, I'm going to let you go first on this one. Is there anything else from this round that you want to target besides Waddle? Because round nine is very tricky.
I think for me, this is where I want to start to dive into the quarterback position if I'm following a late round approach. And Jalen Hurts, man, I don't know why people are so much lower on him. I know the Deshaun Watson rumors kind of got people off of Jalen Hurts a little bit, but all indications are that he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So I'm going to take Jalen Hurts, who weeks 14 through 16 was averaging 27 fantasy points per game, which was third in the league. And he was the quarterback 8 in terms of fantasy production just from rushing alone. So now you add in more toys to this offense. Devontae Smith, he looked really good against the Patriots. The dude is legit advertised. And you're seeing more plays from Quez Watkins, you know, someone that we weren't expecting. This guy's explosive. Oh, and now we have Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. Okay, cool. Like, this receiving core is significantly better than it was last year when he had no one to throw to. Nobody was open. No one saw less separation on their throws last year to open receivers than Jalen Hurts did. Like, he had no help whatsoever.
Right.
So
no, you're right.
I think that even if he takes a small step forward as a passer, especially in an offense that's not necessarily going to be required to him to throw to the perimeter because no quarterback threw to the outside more last year than Jalen Hurts, you bring Nick Sirianni in, who's going to focus more on passing over the middle of the field, making it easier for Jalen Hurts' receivers to pick up yards after the catch. Devontae Smith was really good at more screens, using the running backs in the passing game. So, I mean, when Jalen Hurts was like a 6th or 7th round pick, I was out. Like, that was right. Way too high. But now that he's falling back into the late round quarterback kind of area, I'm back in, especially when you look at his early season schedule. I'm pretty sure he opens the year against the Atlanta Falcons. So again, I'm gonna be in on Jalen Hurts against the Falcons. I mean, I'm gonna start him that week. Like, why wouldn't you want to play him in that type of matchup? So I think that Hurts, I'll pull the trigger here on some late quarterback here with Hurts.
Well, look, you know, I don't want to give us too much credit, Yates, but it feels like you and I are at least partially responsible for pushing the Jalen Hurts ADP back to where it should have been, which is a fringe QB1, which is, I think, when we were doing shows back in June together, we were talking about this. He should be behind Tannehill. He should be behind Aaron Rodgers. He'd be behind, like, it just got out of control. And now it has settled in an interesting place. So I'll give you round nine too. I mean, I think we can all agree this is the point in the draft where you can take a shot at Jalen Hurts, but who do you want to take a shot on?
Yeah, I want to touch on Jalen Hurts really quick because people have pegged me as the guy who was hating on Jalen Hurts this entire offseason. And that has not been the case. It was more so hating on Jalen Hurts' ADP and where he was going in drafts. And Andrew illustrated it there, right? With the 6th or 7th round price tag on Jalen Hurts going above safer options like Ryan Tannehill, Matthew Stafford, that was where I was like, let's pump the brakes here. Like, let's hold on because there is a downside here with Jalen Hurts. If he doesn't progress as a passer and defenses figure out how to contain him in the pocket, then there's a very low floor here for Jalen Hurts. Now at this price tag with QB12 ADP, I think is where this is listed, Joe, then that is absolutely worth taking the shot on him because he does have top 5 upside if he can progress as a passer. So I think that is definitely, the path is definitely there. This is where I am willing to take the shot on Deshaun Watson. Those rumors are responsible for Jalen Hurts falling down here. That was not us, Joe.
No, it was
Deshaun
us.
Watson.
Nope.
The rumors there, we saw him immediately drop after that news. It has not risen back up, which I think is correct. I think that he should be going behind guys like Ryan Tannehill, Matthew Stafford. So completely agree there. Jalen Waddle is the guy that I will highlight in this range, though. You know, we've talked about him nonstop here on the podcast, on the YouTube channel, over at youtube.com/fantasypros. Just saying, Jalen Waddle, there is absolutely no downside here. There is all upside to drafting Jalen Waddle when he was going in the 50s. Now he's starting to rise here at the wide receiver position. I think he's at wide receiver 44 in ADP last time I checked. I am still willing to pull the trigger on him even all the way up to wide receiver 36. So he is an incredible value in drafts right now.
I got him at 34. So how about them apples? That's right. I just moved about 2 more spots yesterday. Can't get enough. Let's go. All right, round 10. Here we go. Double digits. starts with the Rams defense. Ugh, why would you do this? Why would you start taking defenses, people? Stop. I'm not even going to talk about the defense anymore here. Tyler Higbee, Michael Gallup, Mike Gesicki, Mike Williams, Michael Pittman,
a lot of
Jr.
Michaels. Those are four Michaels in a row.
Those are four Mike. It's a Michael run. It's a Michael run here in round 10. Devin Singletary, Corey Davis, Tampa Bay defense, Irv Smith Jr., Marquise Brown, and Trevor Lawrence. There's a couple Yates guys in here, Yates.
There's a lot of Yates guys
in
here.
I was going to say, this might be tough for you. It's like picking your favorite child. So go ahead, round 10, the board is yours.
Oh, man. So I love Tyler Higbee this year.
Yeah, I know.
I love Michael Pittman Jr. this year. I love Corey Davis this year. I think that Michael Gallup is a value where he's going. So, I mean, if I could take this round 10 and like handpick a few of these guys and move them up even a couple of rounds and flip flop some of these guys, I'd be fine with that. I will go with the biggest gap there. And I think that is Tyler Higbee for me. I am absolutely waiting to take Tyler Higbee over taking Noah Fant three rounds earlier or Dallas Goedert, who is going in round 8. I'm not taking either of those guys before I'm taking Tyler Higbee here in round 10. So Higbee is a guy that I've got as a top 6 tight end this year. I'm buying into the fact that he has the size that Stafford is going to lean on in the red zone, where Cooper Kupp, he's a big slot, but he doesn't have that size to be able to be a true factor in the red zone. Robert Woods, we know Tutu Atwell, the exact opposite of size in the red zone. So you look at what Tyler Higbee can be for an offense that I do believe is going to be in the red zone frequently this year. 10 plus receiving touchdown upside for Tyler Higbee this year at the tight end position. That's what I'm looking for.
All right, Andrew, double digits. Here you go. Who do you want round 10?
Got to give some love to preseason superstar Corey Davis. On 13 routes run, 10 targets from Zach Wilson, a low key 77% target rate. If you extrapolate that over a 16 game season, he's on pace for 290 targets. So
there we go.
Solid targets are coming to Corey Davis again.
You heard it here first. Andrew Erickson says 290 targets for Corey Davis.
Lock it up from AE.
So again, Elijah Moore hasn't been playing, so that's part of the reason why Zach Wilson is locking on to Corey Davis. But we know that Corey Davis is going to be on the field in every single receiver set. You know, they've talked about rotating that second receiver position. So we're going to see Keelan Cole and we're going to see Elijah Moore, and at least to start the year. So, I mean, Corey Davis is the cheapest wide receiver you can get that's going to see 120 targets in football right now and in fantasy drafts. And he plays the Carolina Panthers week one. He has the fourth easiest schedule for wide receivers to open the 5 weeks of the season. So I don't even think Corey Davis is that good of a player. And that's why I just feel so confident about his role and the fact that he's so cheap. Like, I thought that he was going to be, when he first signed the Jets, like a 6th round pick, because I thought people were going to like hype him about the targets, right? And just nobody did. So I was like, okay, right, like, I guess I'll just take the 120 targets to the bank and right, I'll see you later.
And I've been downright flippant at times regarding the Jets, especially Zach Wilson, but I want to give some credit where credit is due. I think Zach Wilson has played okay. I think Corey Davis is that guy in this round as well. And I think Zach Wilson also deserves a little bit of praise here this offseason. It's been better than I thought it was going to be. Now, let's see what it is. I keep harping on this. You know, he's got 2 games against the Dolphins, 2 games against the Patriots, 2 games against the Bills. He's got a game against Tampa. He's got a game against Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Some serious defenses. That's 8 of his, 17 matchups.
But he gets Carolina week one.
Against the battle of old and new. Maybe Browning, Nagel, and a couple other old Jet quarterbacks. Oh, yeah, the battle of old New York. Adam Gase is going to be sitting right on the sideline somewhere watching that game. Let's get to, I got a couple rounds left here. We're going to do 3 more rounds here. Let's do round 11. Darnell Mooney. We could probably just stop right there. Henry Ruggs, Baltimore Ravens, Justin Tucker. Okay, now you think I was mad already about the defenses. Don't start taking the kickers early, please, unless you're in some sort of weird kicker scoring league. Washington football team, who I actually do like a lot this year as a defense. Tony Pollard, Jamal Williams, Gus Edwards, Marvin Jones, Rob Gronkowski, Matt Ryan, Mecole Hardman. It's Darnell Mooney for me. I think everyone's sick of hearing me and probably Yates do talk about Darnell Mooney, but Erickson, would you like to talk about Darnell Mooney or somebody else in this round?
I'll talk about somebody else. I like Jamal Williams a lot from the Detroit Lions.
Yeah,
I think that he has a lot of standalone value in that offense that I don't think is really going to feature the wide receiver position very much. I think they're really going to focus targets on getting Swift involved, getting TJ Hockenson involved, and Jamal Williams. And we saw in the preseason game where DeAndre Swift didn't play, it was Jamal Williams playing all the snaps with the starters. So he's the clear backup running back to Swift in this offense. He's going to have some carries and touches on his own because they like him in that spot. So, and again, I don't think Jamal Williams gets enough credit for how well he played last year and how much he's improved since coming into the league. Again, he was always this annoying guy that kept taking away touches from Aaron Jones, who's like top five, you know, real NFL back and fantasy guy. So that's why we just have this kind of negative perception about Jamal Williams. But last year, he finished as PFF's eighth highest graded rusher, and when you include the playoffs, which is actually ahead of Aaron Jones and ahead of DeAndre Swift. So you could argue that, you know, I will make the argument that Jamal Williams is probably a better early down rusher than DeAndre Swift. Swift obviously has the advantage in the passing game, which we obviously prefer more in fantasy. But Jamal Williams is going to have some standalone value because he's going to get carries. And, you know, for getting him this late, I think is worth the price.
I got so many shares of Jamal Williams, Yates. It's not even funny. Like, he is literally, I think, on, I don't know, 90% of my rosters. And it just, like to Andrew's point, I mean, we're in round 11. A guy who has the upside for that kind of volume, sign me up. I'm there for it. What about you, Yates? Who do you want to talk about in round 11?
Yeah, it's Darnell Mooney. Another guy that I will just highlight as a player that we should be drafting a little bit higher than this is Marvin Jones Jr. He's getting a ton of targets here. He's shown the chemistry with Trevor Lawrence. You know, if we, I wouldn't be shocked if we had like a stat line from Marvin Jones of like 7 for 90 and a touchdown. You know, like I wouldn't be shocked if we have that in week one or week two here.
That's the Texans week one.
I know. Like, okay, keep going so back to the 7 Texans. So for 120
and 170.
Yep, for and 3 touchdowns. Marvin Jones. No, I think he's a guy that he's not a sexy pick. We've had Marvin Jones in the league for years now. And he lands in Jacksonville, and the sexy pick is LaVisca Chenault. The sexy pick is DJ Chark, if he's healthy. But Marvin Jones is just going to be one of these guys who's steady Eddie for your fantasy football lineup.
And it's Bevel, too. I mean, let's not forget the familiarity within the offense, and that's a huge thing. And I don't know if Bevel's the right guy necessarily for Lawrence, but no matter what, they got to fix that offensive line. That offensive line has problems. And we keep talking about Trevor Lawrence as Andrew Luck, right? The best quarterback prospect since. I didn't think he was going to have Andrew Luck's offensive line. Okay, let's clear this up a little bit, boys. Round 12, Nyheim Hines, Harrison Butker, Jonnu Smith, Baker Mayfield. We've got kicker. No, J.D. McKissick, Evan Ingram, Devontae Parker, Elijah Moore, Justin Fields, Hunter Henry, T.Y. Hilton, Yates.
Just go to the next.
You want to just say Jonnu Smith? Well, I don't know if you wanted to see Justin Fields, too. Even the single quarterback league.
No.
You don't want to do it? Okay, Jonnu Smith it is. I will also say free tight end, Jonnu Smith, Erickson, it's up to you.
I like Elijah Moore here. You know, he has not played.
You already picked a jet wide receiver. Are you sure you want to double down here?
Yes, I want to double down here. All right. Because I like Elijah Moore a lot. You know, he was a PPR machine at the college level. I believe in the class, he was first in receptions per game. So I like him a lot. And again, I talked about Corey Davis as being a value where he was going. And I think the same is for Elijah Moore, because you could easily see these two players lead this team in targets. They don't really use a tight end. I mean, Tyler Kroft had 2 targets that just both happened to be for touchdowns in that preseason game. They don't have a lot of other options, and their defense isn't good. They're going to have to throw the ball a ton. And why wouldn't you? You know, you want to see what your quarterback can do. That's how you get him reps. There's no point in drafting Zach Wilson to hand the ball off. Like, that's stupid. Like, let him throw the ball. Let him learn. You're not trying to win now. So let's be aggressive. Let's throw the ball 600 times. Let's get Corey Davis targets. Get Elijah Moore some targets. And, you know, before his injury, you know, he was the buzziest player of all. Like, you know, no one could stop talking about it. And just because he hasn't played, his ADP has fallen. And I don't think that's right. You know, again, the preseason is nice and as a tool, but sometimes you learn more about players that don't play in the preseason because their teams are putting them in bubble wrap because they're like, no, I'm not risking. You're too valuable to play in the preseason. And that may be why we haven't seen Elijah Moore yet, because the Jets already know, like, no, this dude is locked and loaded. We don't need him to play at all. You're going to see in week one against the Carolina Panthers. So I'm excited for Elijah Moore, and I think he's a breakout star. And to get him this late, you can wait and see. Jets have the, again, like I mentioned, really easy schedule to open the year. So I like Elijah Moore a lot.
Joe, last one here. Go ahead, really quick.
I read the book Buzziest Players of All to my son at bedtime last night.
Went right to sleep. Right to sleep. The Buzziest Players of All Time. Oh, goodness. You know what? That's a fun book to write. I bet the three of us could have written that book over the last 5 years about some of these players. Oh, boy. Buzzy players. All right. Round 13. Let's see if we can get one more in here. We have got Cole Beasley, Trey Lance, Russell Gage, 49ers, Bills, then Latavius Murray, Philip Lindsay, my dude, the Colts, Kirk Cousins, Alexander Mattison, Deshaun Watson, Jason Sanders. Ugh, gross. All right. So, Erickson, Let's give you the board one more time. This is our last round we're going to cover today. Who do you like in round 13?
I'm stealing Yates' guy because he stole Joe Mixon from me when we first started this. So I'm going with Trey Lance, quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. I just released a sleepers article on PFF.com, and Trey Lance is the poster boy for it because, look, man, when he takes over, he's going to be, what, top 10, top 8, top 5 quarterback? Yep. It doesn't matter. Like, you're just going to want to have him on your team, and because he's going to be the most bid player off the waiver wire if nobody drafts him, so just draft him because it's just going to be a matter of time before he takes over again. Kyle Shanahan's already been non-committal about, you know, who's starting week one, and yes, like, has Trey Lance not necessarily done everything he needs to do in the preseason games to guarantee the job? Yeah, like, he could have been played better. He's taking too many sacks, but again, he also hasn't played football in a really long time, so I'm not holding it against him. Like, he's going to start eventually, and it's not like Garoppolo has been out in being this some world beater of a quarterback in the offense. So he's the situation just so good around him. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Mullins are, since Jimmy Garoppolo started with the 49ers, those two guys rank first and sixth, respectively, in yards per attempt. Like, Nick,
hasn't he missed 22 games to Garoppolo in 3 years? Like, isn't that the number, 22, I think?
Yeah, he's played more than 16 games once in his career. So
this is crazy.
The writing's on the wall. I mean, the writing was on the wall when they trade up for him with three first-round picks to get Trey Lance. So, again, I think that he goes way higher in, like, expert leagues, industry leagues, where it can be, like, a conversation, okay, I can't do Trey Lance in the eighth round because that's really expensive. Right. But home leagues, like this is way more of a speed. Like, I would go and take him even in the, you know, 11th round, 10th round, potentially, in most leagues. So you can get him early, but you should be able to get him later. And I think it's worth it because you're going to have a locked and loaded guy.
All right, Yates, you just got sniped there. He just took Trey Lance from you. So who do you want in round 13?
This entire round is like Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. I will go. So I don't have anyone else.
Did you just make a movie reference? Did Yates just make a movie reference? Wow.
This entire round, dude, I'm not going anywhere else. So I don't care if Andrew took my guy. I'm going Trey Lance.
Trey Lance, he's off the board. No, I don't care.
I'm still taking Trey Lance.
Yeah, I'm still taking Trey Lance. I don't care. I'll put a blank card or up on the board. No, I will go Trey Lance here just because, again, Andrew's mentioning it. If in the traditional mom and pop leagues, you know, you're playing your home leagues, people might not even have Trey Lance on their radar, especially where he's going in the QB range, right, in comparison with other quarterbacks. But there is a very strong possibility that Trey Lance comes out in week one against Detroit and starts here. And then you talk about his schedule from weeks 11 on. It is just it's fantasy football gold.
It is.
So if you can grab, you know, you grab Jalen Hurts in round 9 and you want a little bit of security, you want to, you know, just kind of back that up there, and you take Trey Lance a round or two later, that is a fantastic strategy. Even if I grab a Ryan Tannehill or a Matthew Stafford, right, then I'm still grabbing Trey Lance because he has top 5 upside at the quarterback position, because we've seen the rocket of an arm that he's got. We've seen that he can make things work here. His receivers are letting him down, but we haven't even seen him with his mobility yet. We haven't even really seen that play out. We saw it on the 2-point attempt that in week 2 of the preseason that got called back, but it's there. It's there. And we can absolutely see him hit 60 rushing yards per game easy. So I think that Trey Lance here is absolutely in the conversation for a league winner.
This was great. This was a really great show today, guys. And this kind of feels like the draft assistant product that we were talking about at the beginning, where fantasypros.com/draftwizard, you have that draft assistant with sync. It syncs up to your draft. It's kind of like this. Like, we're going to be there basically in that room with you making those picks. And again, you can only get that here when you are an MVP or Hall of Fame subscriber. And to be a Hall of Fame subscriber, we're giving you a huge opportunity. If you go to fantasypros.com/offers, make a $10 deposit on one of our partner sites. That's Underdog, FanDuel, or DraftKings. You upgrade for 6 free months of that Hall of Fame package, $65 value. Again, that's fantasypros.com/offers. And then you can go get that draft assistant with sync so we can be there in your drafts, link up to your draft in real time, help you make the picks, and help you see the board in a better way. That's at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. You can also hit up our sponsors too and get yourself a big bowl of Magic Spoon for all of your drafts, because everybody loves the Magic Spoon. Go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. You can also go to Dynasty Owner, dynastyowner.com. That is the place where you play fantasy with the real NFL salary cap. And of course, don't forget about airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Again, that code is fantasypros. Andrew Erickson, I cannot thank you enough for all of your time that you've given us over the last few weeks. Again, you could check out Andrew's work at PFF, Pro Football Focus, and he did all of the running back write-ups for the Fantasy Football Black Book 2021 now on Amazon. I'm so grateful to have you as a friend, also as a member of the team. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Andrew Erickson _. Any final thoughts, Andrew, you'd like to share with us today?
No, I'm sad that my Travis Etienne write-up in the Black Book's going to waste now because he's hurt. So don't follow the advice in the Black Book for Etienne. Right. Don't draft him.
Don't draft. Well, look, that's why you subscribe to the update. You get the update, we keep you in the loop there. Yates, great stuff today, as always. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.